We pray. Merciful Lord, Heavenly Father, pour out your blessings upon us through your word. Pour out your supernatural blessings and abilities upon us that we might be filled to overflowing with your grace divine. Lift us up and transform our hearts and minds that they may be renewed this day and every day in your truth and in your grace. Amen. Our presidential candidates would like us to believe that they can make America great. Do you believe it? Do they have that kind of power? Does America even need to be made any greater than what it already is? Would you picture that most American communities are more like Mayberry, USA, or Gotham City? Is America in general as safe or safer and healthier than when your parents were little kids? Or is it more dangerous and evil? I tend to think the consensus is we're not in a very good place these days. And yet, what is it that's ripping at the fabric of America? ISIS? Corrupt politicians? The free flow of drugs? All of them play their part, but what I would submit to you this morning is the thing that's really destroying America is Americans. We the people. When we the people use our hard-fought freedom and our cherished liberties to do evil, then a nation does not long last under that kind of tyranny and oppression. Us Americans, as a nation, seem to have lost their moral compass. And when that happens, well, then the creed of any nation is just, well, everybody does what's good in their own eyes. Look out for yourself. Blatant lawlessness. And that's a very sad day. That's the decline of a nation, not the rise of a nation. But this morning, we're not focused in on how this nation lives its life. We're focused in on how we live our lives. And that's why God puts together a question for us this morning for us to ponder in our heart of hearts. Do we want freedom from sin or freedom to sin? The Apostle Paul lays out for us this crisis that's in every Christian heart, this battle that rages and will rage to the day of our death. He writes, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other." There is no peace on that battleground. It's a bloody fight. But it's a fight between preserving the freedom and the life that God has won for us or falling into slavery and death. Paul writes, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Ooh. Did you feel your sinful nature twinging at that one? Our sinful natures do not like God's idea here that this freedom we have, we are actually supposed to use it to serve others, to meet their needs, to build them up according to their needs. No, our natural self says it's their responsibility to build me up, make me happy, make sure I feel loved and I have all I want out of life. They're here to serve me, not me here to serve them. But living for our sinful nature always drags us into a slavery wicked and perverse slavery, just as surely as drug use mushrooms into drug addiction, as much as we would like to deny it. The sins that we love trap us into wanting more and more all the time, a evil hunger for the joy of that sin, until finally we're dragged into a deep hole of suffering and misery and death. Christ has set us free. He doesn't call for us to liberate ourselves. He's won that for us already. But there innately is a danger, and that's why Paul warns us, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, most of us Americans, we wouldn't say, I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave to anyone or anything. I have control of my life, and I'm just simply living my life my way. Really? Paul writes, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he lists a long list of just what comes out of the sinful nature by nature. And it truly is wicked. But what might not be quite so obvious is how addictive every single sin is. Whether we're talking about sexual immorality or debauchery or idolatry or hatred or fits of rage or anything else that is called a sin, it never just stays on the surface. It always burrows down into our heart of hearts and the fabric of our being. Sexual immorality often starts as just looking at pornography. And then the pornography becomes an addiction. And then that so easily just kind of slips into premarital sex or extramarital sex. And all of a sudden, love is gone. Homes are destroyed. All that remains is just more sex. Or if we look at debauchery. Debauchery starts so subtly by suppressing guilt. Rather than confessing our sins, we just bury it deep under the surface. And oh, how it does its evil work. Before long, we're no longer ashamed of our sin. We're brazen hussies. We're numb to all the hurt and the sins we commit against other people. We even mushroom to the point where we blame them for what we're doing. It's their fault I have to be so mean to them. They deserve it. And we take no ownership. Idolatry starts off most often by us kind of harboring the thought that we're pretty hot stuff, you know? And before we know it, arrogance has brainwashed us into truly believing, oh, I'm the smartest person in the room. And from there, well, why do I need anyone else's thoughts? Whatever I think, that's the right, and everyone else is the wrong. And all of a sudden, we start worshiping ourselves, and humility is killed. Hatred usually starts out with a little speck of a grudge. Someone has done something wrong to us. And oh, how we nurse that rather than renouncing it. We relive it over and over again. We play with it in our mind and heart. We can't let it go. And it grows in us so that we start feeling the victim of everyone and everything. And we get consumed and become prisoners of self-pity. Oh, poor me. And then instead of forgiving, as our Lord calls us to, we end up becoming consumed by our own anger. And it brings death. Paul warns, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Life is truly miserable when we're living in sin, and we're the ones who make our lives miserable. Who wants to live in a family where there is biting and devouring? Usually people can hardly wait to get out of such a family, flee as quickly as possible. How can God's hand of blessing rest on such a family? Or in a church or a school where there's biting and devouring. Who wants to go to such a church or a school as that? We might preach a great deal about love, but if we're living in our sin, then our actions preach a whole different sermon. How can God's hand of blessing rest on such a congregation or school? Or if a nation is torn apart by biting and devouring each other, who wants to be a member of that nation? If that's truly what America is all about, biting and devouring one another, well, then we are neither the land of the free nor the brave. We've become a pitiful nation. If we live by sin, sin will destroy us, both in this life and in eternal life. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We may call ourselves Christians, but if we live in sin, condone our sin, love our sin, instead of repent of our sins, God will condemn us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Christ is the one who has brought freedom to us. He doesn't ask us to fight for that. He asks us to stand firm in this freedom that He's already won for us. He has saved us from our damnation that we deserve by being condemned for us. He bought us back from the slavery with His own blood. He's the one who has fought and defeated our enemies and have liberated us from our death camps. We are no longer dead people living in the prison of guilt. His death and resurrection has killed our forerunners. Now we belong to Him. He has pulled us out of our own personal hell holes of greed and arrogance and hatred and sexual abuse and all the other things that torment us and make our lives not worth living. He has pulled us out and restored us in His grace and glory. We are His dear children. And so Jesus says, stand firm. Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. As we consume and inwardly digest that word of God, so goes the Holy Spirit. And He resides and dwells in us. And the Holy Spirit does a very holy thing. He grows His fruit inside of us and transforms us, changes us. Calls us to faith, makes us His children, but then grows us in this Christian faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that describe your life? Do you want that to describe your life? Have you ever been transformed by someone else's love? Just become a totally different person because their love is in your heart and in your life. There is no more powerful love than God's love. And boy, does it have the power to transform and change us forever. He has taken us from the depths and raised us up to the heights that we should be called the children of God. He not only frees us from our past prisons, He adopts us to be His very own. And as His beloved children, He wants to share with us all of His bountiful gifts. And not only the stuff He has, He shares with us the stuff he is, his very essence. And the very essence of God is love. Oh, how he yearns to fill us to overflowing. There's a story about Vladimir, a world-renowned pianist who had such ability. He played with such love and passion in his music that he would move grown men to tears in the middle of his concerts. He just melted people. Vladimir had a son, Dmitri. And from little on, he taught Dmitri how to play the piano. Finally came the day where Dmitri was to make his debut. The crowds were abuzz. Would Dmitri possess that very same love and passion in his music that his father had? Would it be passed down? Vladimir reserved a booth in the back of the balcony just so that should his son fail, he could retreat to the back of the booth and cry quietly by himself. The night came. The lights went down. The curtain went up. Dmitri came out and sat at the Steinway and began to play. The crowd hung on every note that came. And as that final chord hung in the air, Vladimir threw his hand over his mouth and retreated to the back of the booth. He was sobbing, but not tears of sorrow. Dmitri had not failed. They were tears of joy because the love that possessed the father he could now hear in his son. That's the joy our Heavenly Father has when he sees his love in our hearts. He so wishes to fill us to overflowing. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This world that speaks so much of it and knows nothing of it is given to us by our Heavenly Father. That we should love with the love he has for us, that he might instill that and empower that in us. That we might have his joy. The joy he has that we are his children and will spend eternity with him in heaven. That the peace he comes to with us might be that peace that keeps us peaceful even in a world that's warring. His peace is that strong. The world knows nothing of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are those just words, just concepts to the world? But our God supernaturally fills us with those through the power of his word, transforming hearts and lives. And oh, when the Holy Spirit fills us with his fruit, then we no longer want to live to please our sinful nature. Then we truly are moved to serve one another in love, in this love that God has for us and has filled us with and has given us new purpose for our lives. God concludes, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. They don't play with their sinful nature. They don't entertain their sinful nature or dance with it. They crucify it day after day. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Our nation isn't in step with the Holy Spirit. Rather, it is groaning under the weight of its godlessness. Oh, that we might be the light in this dark world, a light to our nation. May those who are looking for love and joy and peace and hope and patience, may they find it in us. And through us, may they find their salvation, that they might share in our peace and joy that comes from our Savior Jesus Christ. May God fill our hearts really, truly, sincerely with a freedom that desires to be free from all sin, now and for all eternity. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, gracious God, our times are in your hands. Work in us and through us through the power of your holy word, that word that called creation into being. So, dear Lord, transform our hearts and lives that we might be filled to overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit to the glory of your name, now and forever, in Christ our Savior. Amen.